Father, we take a moment that we come to hear from you this morning. We're asking that, again, that our hearts would be open and ready and willing, Lord God, to hear what you have to say, and we would apply it to our hearts and our lives, Lord God, that for a moment we would just lay aside what's going on so that we could hear from you on what you have for us. We give you honor and we give you praise this morning. Trusting you to bring to completion what I believe that you've already started in some this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes, I was kind of honest this morning when I'm saying that things going on, because I want you to know something. I don't pretend to be anything that I'm not. Say amen to that? And isn't that the way we should really be? When you're hurting, you're hurting. When you need God to do something, you need to be honest enough to say it. And when I say that, it was an eye opener this week as God began to just show me different hurts and stuff in some other people's lives. It made me realize, one, that I should be praying more. One, I should be digging in, and sometimes you just gotta stay focused on what's going on and what God's speaking to you. So here's the thing. I'm going to tell you right up front this morning. I'm doing a message. It is called Signs, and it's really what I want you to see, that there's information that God wants you to have. There's beware signals that God gives you. Signs in general that you can either listen to, see coming, all kinds of different ways that God tries to communicate with us. So, you know, I wanted to start by just kind of playing a bit of a game and thinking of this. If I put out on the front church sign that LeBron James of the Cleveland Cavaliers was going to be here next Sunday morning, do you think the church would be full? Do you think that if I said Jennifer Aniston or Bradley Cooper or whatever other actor or actress you like or favor, or if I put their name on there, would people come to God's house? Yeah, the house probably would be full. And my question would be, why, you ask, is because they would be people that people want to come meet. So, you know what I'm saying, that if the people in the community, when they saw that sign, and they saw what was on that sign, they would believe that what we were putting on there to be true, and they would show up at the appropriate time, and they would come. And I think they would lynch me, literally lynch me, if I brought them in there under false pretenses, and as the service began, I began sharing a message on God's love, they would have a fit. Because they would have came here for one thing, and we would be giving them another thing. They already had in their minds what they were expecting, and what they got would be not what they're looking for, right? The church sign out front usually has a message that is usually inviting someone or encouraging someone from the community to be drawn to the things of God. And when they choose of their own free will to come, and they come through those doors, it would be my prayer that as they enter in, that they would be met with smiles, and they would have their expectations met, and they would get what they need, and they'd be two different things. Do you understand that this morning? That their expectations would be met, that would be one thing, and that they would get what they need, because most of them don't know what they need. And their expectations are so different. And here lies, I think, some of the problem, that it's not that the church don't give them good things, but when they're not looking for the good things, they feel like they're not getting what they need. So we need to show them that what they need is what we got. And what they really need is something that's going to be beneficial, that what they need will satisfy what's going on in their life. Say amen to that. Now, if you can tell me how to figure that out, we'd be packed next Sunday. Thousands of people pass that sign every week. We use it as a tool of evangelism. Like I said, we're giving information. We let them know what we're doing. We're trying to create that we're not a secret society, that we're trying to show them what's going on inside, to break some of the ice of the things that would be fearful to some that would be stepping in for the first time. We use it as an evangelistic tool. They use it as a point of reference for directions. Turn left at the church there over by the sign there that's right on the corner. Nobody said amen. That's what they do. That's what most people do. Some are amused by what we put on the sign. Some would say that it's encouraging. I've gotten calls. Hey, that was great. That was good. That was informational. Hey, that was a cute phrase. I like that. But until they come in, they can't be changed, right? They're going to be amused. They could be encouraged, but they won't be changed until they come in. They won't experience what God has for them until they come in. Here lies another problem. If we can't get some believers to come and get what they need, how much harder is it for unbelievers? And last week, when believers aren't praying, and you had to be here last week to hear that, when believers aren't praying the way they should, when you get so bound up in what's going on in your life that you forget that you need to be praying for someone else, or if you're so bound up in with what's going on in your life that you don't even think about praying for someone else, it really shows you where you're at. When you struggle with priorities and you struggle with commitments and it's hard to be and do what you're supposed to do, we struggle. Now here I'm going to get really crazy. For some of you that are a little bit older, in 1971, Five Man Electrical Band wrote a song called "Signs," and I know the song, but I'm not going to try to sing it to you. So I'm going to try to give you the words the best I can without driving you out by singing it. It goes something like this, and the sign says, "Long-haired freaky people need not apply." So I stuck up my hair up under my hat, and I went in to ask him why. He said, "You look like a fine, upstanding young man. I think you'll do." So I pulled off my hat and said, "Imagine that, me working for you. Sign, sign, everywhere the sign. Breaking up the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that. Can't you read the sign?" I didn't freak anybody out, did I? Some of you are going, "I know that song." Some are going, "Oh my gosh, that's what they did 35, 40 years ago? No wonder." But you see what? That sign was informational. That sign made a statement. The very one that they were trying to keep out, by general appearance, he took his hat off and freaked them out again. Because while he had a hat on, he thought he was one person, and took his hat off and realized he was another person. And he says, "Can't you read the signs? Don't you understand what's going on? God has signs." If you didn't get it, that's where I'm going this morning. God has signs, and he gives us signs. God shows us things. He gives us beware signs. He warns us of danger. You know, if you're running down the road at 80 miles an hour and you see a sign that says "bridge out," that's not the time to decide if somebody didn't pick it up when they were supposed to. Or that's not the time to go, "I can beat this. Whatever hole is in the sidewalk or the road there, I can go fast enough to get over it." The idea of the whole sign is to tell you, bridge out, road construction, beware, left lane closed, stop, whatever it is. So I want to tell you something. When God gives you a bridge out sign, it's not the time to debate if you're going to challenge God on whether how much of the bridge is out, how fast you need to go to cross over the hole that's there. When God says there's a bridge out, take his word for it. There's a bridge out, and the best interest for you is to heed the sign. When you stop and think about it, probably the first sign or the first warning was God already back in the Garden of Eden telling Adam and Eve, don't eat the fruit. Don't eat that fruit. You can have whatever you want, but don't eat that, because when you do, you'll die. And I want you to know something. They ignored the warning. And then you see the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. And right away, everybody thinks, oh, God doesn't want anybody to have any fun. So he's going to tell everybody what to do. No, they're warning. They're warning signs. They're really created to show you that you can't live by those Ten Commandments, that you need Jesus. And then I really love the people who say, well, I live the Ten Commandments. And I said, well, go ahead and name them. And they can't name them, but they say they live them. Truth is, you know, it's a warning. Ignoring any one of them, God says, means death. And then pointing us and telling us that we can't live those Ten Commandments. None of us have. And we need Jesus. So the warning signs are there. The warning signs aren't to just show how of a bully of a God that we have, but a gracious God, a God that loves us, a God that cares what's going on, a God that says, not willing that any should perish. That's why I put the sign out. Not willing that any should perish. And you can even put it, not willing that any should suffer for these things, because if you heed my warning, you don't have to go through that. He knows that there's a predator out there, and that there's pitfalls, and that we're going to be in unknown territories. And then he tells us that the Holy Spirit's there to remind us of the Lord's warnings. The Holy Spirit is with us to give us the strength and the protection and the guidance that we need to keep us on the right path. And David says, the Lord is my shepherd, the rod and thy staff comfort me, meaning this, that God's directions, whether he's disciplining you or loving you, it's still out of love that he does it. And he's saying that God is a protector, not a destroyer. God does not put these warnings and the signs out for us as a God of a bully. He's a God that wants to protect us. He's a God that doesn't want to see us destroy ourselves. So I have a couple warning signs that I just want to bring to you this morning. There's a lot more. And if I really took the time to do more, we would miss lunch. And some of you, that would be a sign that I was in trouble. So number one is this. Beware of the devil's schemes. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. Let me just read this. Ephesians 6, all right in there mixed with the armor of God, very familiar verse that you know. Paul's writing here, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, I want you to know something. Some people take that as a joke. Some people don't understand spiritually that God gives you an armor that allows you to be able to overcome some of these things. Or that, you know, there really is not a devil. Or at worst, they picture this little meager devil in a red suit and a pitchfork. They miss the whole concept of what God is trying to warn us of, that spiritually this predicator, this destroyer, is after more than your physical body, but your spiritual body. And then some think, well, that must just be for the devil stompers. That must be for those that are going to, you know, that God calls, that are going to be the casting out evil spirits. That must be for them. You know, I don't have to worry about, because what? The devil's not going to worry about me. He's not going to care what I'm doing. He's going to go after those devil stompers. average people don't have to worry about such a thing as that. Well, my Bible tells me that the devil intends to destroy us. And I want you to know that's a fact, Jack. The devil's out to destroy you. Jesus warned Peter, Satan desires to have you to sift you like wheat. It's a warning. He desires to have you. The enemy is clever. The enemy at times will use things that we think are good. Bible says that he's an angel of light. So if we're not even careful, we're not sure that he's even doing things in our lives. I think today the presentation of pleasure as an absolute right is a way that he destroys many, making us feel that it's all about me. And if I'm not happy, nobody's going to be happy. If it's not my pleasure, then I'm not going to worry about it. And it's his scheme. It's his cunning tricks. It's his way of bringing darkness in our lives and pretending to be a light. It's his way of confusing us. And for some, it may be even, well, I only do a little things wrong. I don't murder. I don't do these other things, you know. And I'm surely not as bad as so-and-so, making us and grading us against one another rather than putting ourselves against the holiness of God and making us realize that all of us need Christ. All of us need Christ working in our lives. Paul warns believers to beware so that Satan doesn't outsmart us. You know, he's smarter than you are. And I got news for you. He knows God's word better than you do. And it's foolish to ignore God's warnings. God tells us that we're not of this world, but yet we can't be blinded by the spiritual darkness in this world. And that we need to be children of light. And that we need to recognize those stop signs, those bridge outs, those lane changes, all of the things that create havoc in our lives. We need to recognize those and recognize those pitfalls. In January, I'm planning to start a series in January called The Pitfalls of Life, because there's so many that just cause so many people to be distracted and causing them to get off track and causing them to think, this ain't so bad. And by the time they realize it is, they're already off track. We're encouraged to watch and pray. Those are some of the words Jesus uses himself. He tells us to watch and pray. And tells us basically that praying is going to sharpen our ability to discern what the devil is trying to do in our lives. Yet praying is the one thing that we struggle with. And I don't need a show of hands. I know. I know that prayer is an area of all of our lives that we could all do better. I know it's an area of all people's lives that if we did more, we would see God do more. Say amen to that. In our lives and in the lives of the church, we live non-victorious only because we don't take our inheritance. Go ahead. You can say amen. It's a fact that you know, we live far less and unaware of what Satan is doing in our lives because we're not praying. We're not hearing from God. We're not getting those warning signals. We're going through things that God never intended us to go through if we would have just adhered to what he was telling us long before we went through it. The second thing is beware of false prophets. Matthew 7:15 says, watch out for false prophets. They come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Basically, a false prophet is this, a person not sent by God, bringing words that didn't come from God. And we have to identify it and understand what's going on. Outwardly, they're sheep in sheep's clothing. Inwardly, they're wolves trying to destroy us. basically looking at false teachers who seek to give us what we want to hear, telling us things that you don't have to change. God loves you the way you are. You don't have to change a thing. Well, that's half truth. God loves you the way you are, but He is wanting you to change. He is wanting to help you change. So when you see someone that's standing up there and they're tickling your ear, so to speak, and telling you that, you know, God loves you, you don't have to change, just stay the way you are, you know, and gives all of these crazy predictions and all of the other things that they're doing. Or if you can come to church and you don't have to worship, you don't have to change your attitude to get in the point of wanting to worship God, that's okay. Believe me, that's a false prophet. Those words didn't come from God. That's not what my Bible tells me. We're supposed to come worship. We're supposed to allow God to make changes. We're not to get our ears tickled. We're supposed to be smart enough to understand that when God puts those warning signs out, that we adhere them. And not mad at God for putting them out, but thankful that He put them out. These false prophets promise what people want to hear, but water down the truth. There's a lot of churches full because they've watered down the truth. Somebody had it on Facebook not too long ago. It showed this little kind of like a firehouse with 25 chairs in it and said, this is the church that God is speaking to. And they're making changes. And then it showed this massive, like, arena. And this is the church that lets them do what they want to do. And there's a bit of truth to that. Bible says, there's a way which seems right to a man, but in the end leads to death. And I believe that's part of it. Well, if you're not able to discern what a false prophet is, if you're not able to discern, yes, God loves you, and He doesn't want to leave you where you're at, and He wants to make the changes, but He's not satisfied with you going, that's okay, I don't have to change. Oh, I can go to a church where I don't have to worship. You can worship in the woods too. I hear that all the time. And you're right, you can. I have done it. I've seen animals in the wild that I love to watch. I've seen flowers and different things growing that make me think of God. But the Bible says that we need to worship together. Come together of like-minded faith and worship. So to just take one thing and say you can just love nature. And it's okay. God will love you for that. You don't have to change. Not true. They look at the popularity of a person rather than the words that they speak. I want you to know something. Just because they have a soft voice and talk real gentle doesn't mean what they're saying is from the Word of God. Sometimes you have to be careful. Number three is beware of hypocrisy. Luke 12:1. Be on guard. That's a warning sign. Be on guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. I want you to know something. God's not fooled by fake religion. In fact, God tells you He doesn't like religion, that it's all about relationship. You know, every part of me, when somebody says, I'm not religious, wants to say, I'm not either. But I love Jesus. Well, I don't get into that religious stuff. No, you don't have to. Just get into God's Word. Get in a relationship with God. Don't be fooled by the religion. It's all about relationship. In fact, if you really want to do yourself good, take the mask of religion off and just dig into a relationship. And be careful that who's talking the talk is also walking the walk. Same end of that this morning. because people are watching the church. And they're saying, I see a lot of people doing a lot of talking, and I see a lot of people that aren't walking the walk. And then they're not realizing that God tells us that man looks on the outside and God looks on the inside. So all the fake religion, all the masks, all the cute words, all everything you can imagine to do to cover up, God sees a heart. And God's saying, I just like honesty. Tell me where you're at. Goes back to what I said before. Come numerous times. I know how you're feeling anyway, so just be honest and tell me what's going on. To the Laodiceans, he says this, I know your deeds, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. There's going to be a lot of surprised people on the day of judgment that have put on a mask for so long, or thought religion could save them, or thought because mom or dad was such a good Christian that they just fall in the car to heaven just because of that. He sees the heart. God hates hypocrisy. He loves us being honest. So come the way you are and let God change you. Number four is beware of covetousness, Luke 12:15. Watch out, again a sign. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. You know, there's some people that are just never satisfied. They're never satisfied. Have the attitude, how much is enough? One more dollar. Got to have the latest this, the latest that. He says, watch out. Be on guard. Nothing wrong with things. But don't let things have you. And if you begin to get jealous that someone else has more than you have, you better check out the sign. You better understand that God is telling you and telling us that maybe we need to stop complaining about some of this. Maybe we need to not be so greedy. Maybe we know that if we're complaining, turns to hate, to greed, to even murder because of somebody wanting something that someone else had. I don't know about you, but doesn't it breaks my heart when I think that someone lost their life over a pair of tennis shoes or a jersey or a jacket. God help us that as believers we don't allow that cancer to eat at us and destroy us and cause us to do things that we wouldn't be proud of. Signs that the world puts out is this: you deserve it. You deserve it. We all know it. That's all advertisement is designed. You deserve it. They owe it to you. Take what you want. Anything less is not living. All the while that you hear these kinds of things, God saying, bridge out. Bridge out. Danger. Stop. Lane change. Get a grip on it. Number five is this, lest we be led away from our steadfastness. 2 Peter 3:17 and 18 says, for it's better if it's God's will to suffer for doing good rather than doing evil. Paul actually goes to the Galatians and he says this, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? Do you get that this morning? See, we read over that a lot of times. Paul's saying, you were running a good race. What happened? What cut in? Why didn't you see the lane change? Why didn't you see the stop sign? Why didn't you hear the warnings that I was giving? See, the devil always wants to cause us to be weary every time someone tells us that we need a spiritual discipline. Every time that, you know, we let our guard down, the devil seems to just put it in there. Trying to get us to be slack in our daily devotions. Trying to get us to slack on our prayer time. Trying to get us to not spend so much time with people of like-minded faith. Trying to stop us from getting around people that are spiritually deeper than we are, because that might involve change. Church only wants money. I don't have to be in church every Sunday. I don't really have to witness to somebody else, because that's somebody else's job. That's what we pay the preacher for. All the times that these are little warning signs that God's saying, you know what? Need to check that. Need to take a look at that. Because it's everyone's job to minister. This house would be full if we would just be sensitive to people that come right up to us and basically are asking us, why are you the way you are? Giving us an opportunity to say, because Jesus lives in our heart. How do you get through that thing that you went through? Because I just know I couldn't have done it. Because of Jesus. Boy, I can't find a church that I would really like. Well, you could come to ours. He's not too bad. He'll love you. We ignore God's warnings. Love not the world, nor the things of the world. It all starts sometimes when God's wanting us to do different things in our lives, and we find ourselves giving these excuses. I'm too tired. I'm too busy. I'll take care of it tomorrow. It's all about priorities. God's trying to get our attention in different areas. Maybe it's just as simple as going to the neighbor and said, hey, I heard you were sick. Just thought I'd come over and pray with you. Or heard you were sick and bring a pot of soup with you. Something. Just to let someone know. And when you start saying, nope, God, I'm pretty busy. I'm kind of tired, God. Or when God is trying to speak to you in a certain area of your life, and you begin saying, well, everybody else is doing it. And God says, I'm not talking to everybody else. I'm talking to you this morning. I don't want you doing it. The times are different. We don't do that anymore. You know, that's the big thing. I won't even hear the number, several books on church growth and what it takes. And you know what? Sometimes they say, well, we're not doing that anymore. They claim to be a 21st century church, and yet if you read in Acts, he talks about devoted to prayer, fellowshipping with each other, and getting into the house of the Lord. And yet they're trying every other avenue except being devoted to prayer, spending time with each other, and getting into the house of the Lord. Well, how can that be a 21st century church? Now, I like our projection system and all that other. But if we're going to see God do something amazing, it's going to be devoted to prayer, spending time with each other, and looking out for some others and meeting their needs and getting in this community and showing them that God makes the difference, and telling them, I'm not too busy for you. I'm not too tired for you. And just because everybody else is doing it, God said, I can't, so I'm not. And it may be okay for you, but it's not okay for me. And whatever that is that God's talking to you about. Beware lest you forget God. Now, I know it's Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12 says, "Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." Be careful, folks, this morning, that you don't forget the God that brought you into salvation. Be careful, folks, this morning, that you don't forget the God that has been there for you when we get too busy for the things that He wants us to do. How can we forget Him, you might ask? Without Him, we'll die. That's what that verse is basically saying. He is our breath. He is our food. He's our energy. He's our peace. He's our contentment. He's the answer to what we're going through. And yet we act like an unbeliever sometimes. The fool says in his heart, there's no God, because we have no time. Keeping in mind that God says, set your mind on things above and not on these earthly things. We got to work every day. We got to maintain a house in some respect. We got to do some things. But don't let the things, and don't let the things of this world take over. The devil is clever, and he will set traps and pitfalls that you're not smart enough to get out unless you recognize them early enough. It says that we must stand against the schemes of the devil. I'm closing. You know, next week we start Advent. And here's my thought. We're going to move right into the Christmas season. And before you know it, we're going to be through the Christmas season. There are several weddings coming up the end of the year. And pretty soon, you know what? We're going to be sitting, and you're going to be sitting right in the middle of that January series I'm doing on pitfalls, and you're going to go, where did the last 6 or 7 weeks go? So my warning to you this morning is stop and acknowledge what God is saying to you this morning. I don't know what He's particular telling you. Heed His warnings. See His encouragement. See what He wants for us fellowshipping together. See what he has in mind for people of like-minded faith. See what He's saying to us about shortfalls. See what He's saying about hope. It's time to be honest with God, folks. It really is. It's time to be honest with God about what's going on in our lives. It's time to be honest with God about our prayer life. It's time to be honest with what you want God to change and what you're not willing to give Him. And trust me, the very things that you're not willing to give Him are the very things He's saying, I want that. And sometimes, because we serve such a great God, that as soon as we let off of Him, He goes, oh, just wanted to see if you'd give it up. You can have that. In fact, I'll bless you a little more. I just wanted to make sure that that wasn't more important than me. Stop running. Stop going in the wrong direction. And for some, realize that the bridge is out. And when you get to the end of that road, it may be too late. Father, I just ask, Lord God, as we close this out, and we really have to take a moment to be honest with You this morning. And Lord God, we want to see the warning signs that You give us through Your word, through fellowshipping together. That, Lord God, Your intention is not that we're harmed by the devil's schemes, but that we would be able to identify him. Your thought, Lord God, is that each one of us plays a part in the kingdom of God. Each one of us is responsible for the people that we come in contact with to make an impact. Lord God, may Your house be full. May we spend more time in prayer. May we care and be sensitive to those that we come in contact with, showing them the love of Christ, that we could be all that You want us to be, Lord God. And we're going to give You honor. We're going to give You praise. We're excited to go into the Advent season, Lord God, to just acknowledge how great a God that we serve and thankful for what You've done for us. And we're going to give you honor and give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.